podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi there, and welcome to Scout the Game Week. Scout the Game Week is Fantasy Football Scout's weekly podcast brought to you by the Scout Network. In each episode, we'll look back at the game week we have just played to assess what we can learn to help us in the next round of fixtures. I'm Ryan from Football Chatbox. Let's scout the game week. Game Week 26 is done, and it was a game week of mixed feelings. Most who wildcarded probably ended up on the wrong side of variance, while others did see some positive greens. To discuss all of this and more, I'm joined by someone who organizes one of the most popular FPL tournaments in Strikers, Keepers, Losers, Weepers, and also runs the Great and the Good League. It's none other than FPL Greyhead. How are you doing, mate?
Very well indeed. Very well indeed. So thank you for having me on. I should just say, I'm not the only person behind Strikers, Keepers, Losers. Yeah, co-organizer. Yes. Boris Bodega will be calling me up saying that. So we should definitely flag him. And then obviously everyone else who gets involved, top marks and so forth. But great to be on. And yeah, it's a busy time in FPL.
Yes, indeed. So we will have a discussion. We'll start with maybe let's just probably kind of get it out. How did Game Week 26 go for you? And if I'm not mistaken, you also played your wild card from looking at your squad.
Yes, I followed the herd. I followed the herd and played the wild card in 26. I was set to try and navigate my way around the doubles and the blanks, but I probably could have done, but there was a few injuries, and Nketiah obviously looked to be out of favour as well. So in the end, I decided to press the button. I'm still believe it's the right call, based on the fact that I think you won't really see the benefit until 27, 28, 29. And I just don't see the big upside to the doubles that we had the previously before the FA Cup reschedules and fixtures and so forth as well. So I played the wild card. It didn't go particularly well this week. I got a green arrow, which is, hey, a green's a green, isn't it? So that's all good. Ended up with 51 points, but I picked, I had Matoma, which obviously helped. I think the biggest disappointment was Robert Sanchez, but we'll probably talk about him later.
Yes, we will. I think I had a question for that as well. I guess green is good. For me, I played the wildcard as well, although it didn't get a green. It ended up on a red, unfortunately. So I was telling you earlier, but like tell the listeners as well, everything that could go wrong basically went wrong for me. I still believe my squad needed a wildcard because I had the likes of Bueno, Tarkowski, Nketiah, Almiron, I had Darwin and Robert who didn't play one game in the double, and I was a bit worried about that as well. So there were players I thought I was like not really happy with, and I ended up wildcarding all of them out, including Salah as well, who decided to perform crazily. And added to that, the players I bought in on the wildcard, I had Rico Henry, who set up a nice delivery for Mbeumo, who couldn't finish it. But I did, so I had that was points that could have been coming in. I started March over Mitoma. Mitoma was on my bench. And Solly March decided to assist the assister in almost everything Brighton did. So I've had a team that has had some elite point dodging, I would say. And then obviously
That is impressive. That is impressive. And I should say, because obviously I can see you and you are still smiling, I would be crying in a corner based on that tale of woe. I think everything that could go wrong did go wrong for you, unfortunately.
True. And then added to that, the Arsenal assets, like in Martinelli, Saka didn't turn up. Gabriel lost his clean sheet in the first 20 seconds. Everything just went bad as it could get. But on the positive sides, I'm hoping that I'm kind of set up better for 27. 28 and 29, where people will be taking hits to bring in some of the double gaming players we're going to be talking about as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I would say, obviously referring back to the Great and Good League that obviously I track, some of the more prominent managers in the community. So take some comfort. Fabio August is obviously one of the best managers of all time. He had an awful wild card. I think he ended up on 30 points because he went for double Arsenal defence. And he also benched Matoma as well. So you're equal with Fabio in many ways in
I'll
terms of how bad. So there you are.
I'll take it for this week.
Yes, exactly.
So I will cling on to that as we go into game week 27. Okay, so I'm going to focus on some of the key talking points that managers may be having this week. Let's start with Brighton. So they have a double coming up this week against Leeds away and Crystal Palace at home. For someone who wasn't on a wild card, how many Brighton assets would you recommend bringing in, and who would they be?
I think if you're not on a wild card, I mean, I think you, obviously you probably look to have kind of, we definitely need one. I mean, and I'd probably say for kind of two. The I think the challenge is where you have them. The obvious place to look is the midfield places. But as you've just found out to your cost, it's picking the right midfielder
Exactly.
amongst those three ones between March, McAllister and Mutoma. And I think also the other issue as well this week is that if you do bring in two of those midfielders, is the kind of what you're going to give up. So I'm always maybe a slightly negative manager. I always look at, if you do bring someone in, what points could you potentially lose as a result? And if you think about this week, you probably are you. Everyone's got Rashford, pretty much, I would say. And so it probably will mean that you may need to kind of bench an Arsenal midfielder, and that could hurt you against Fulham as well. So I think it's obviously get one of the midfielders, maybe another one, and then I think the other place to look would be obviously in defence, and Estepina as well. I think Estepina stands out as the other one I would go for, just because I think he could be. I think he's absolute gold. If you look at the number of points, he's just churning out. He's a machine at the moment in terms of what he's getting. I think he's created some like 25 chances this season, five big chances,
Very
and
attacking
he's still
fullback.
in. Yeah, and he's only 9% owned or 9-10% owned. So, despite the fact in FPL Twitter world, a lot of people seem to have him, in the bigger world, not a lot of people do. So, I'd probably go for him, and then one of the M's in midfield.
Yep, fair enough. And again, keep in mind, whichever M you bring in, you're most likely going to have to accept the fact that you will potentially lose out on points from one of the others as well.
Absolutely.
It's like even if you look at the numbers, they all have something good in one particular way. Like McAllister has his penalties, Solly March has all the chance creation, and Mitoma happens to be the more lethal out of all three of them. So it depends on, and I won't be surprised if all three return. And I won't be surprised if one person happens to miss out like Solly March did in Game Week 26. So keep in mind with regards to all of that. I think Stupinan, like you mentioned, really good for Brighton defense. I think the reason his percentage is probably lower is also because people probably went for Sanchez or already had Sanchez. And they were keeping in mind the game week in 28 with the blank, where it's probably easier to bench a goalkeeper and put out a full play in 11. But now he's been dropped. And we've got quotes from De Zerbi that said Steele is currently his preferred player right now. So for those who have Sanchez, what should be the play here? Would you move him to say Steele? Or would you go maybe Rea if you didn't have triple Brentford already? Or would there be another keeper?
Yeah, no, I think it's a tricky one because I think, as you said, I think De Zerbi has been really kind of quite cryptic in terms of what he's said. There does seem to be a general kind of acceptance that Steele is going to be the one going forward, but I'm a bit suspicious about that, to be honest. I think he was talking about how he preferred Steele at the moment because of his ability to kind of to play from the back. He's better at the ball with it, ball with his feet, etc. But then at the same time, he's been saying quite positive things about Sanchez as well. So it really wouldn't surprise me if we see the kind of rotation going forward. And when you're talking about your keeper and you're talking about doubles, you don't want to be worrying about that. You don't want to be worrying about your keeper not turning up. So, to be honest, I think if you've not got Rea and I'm in that position, so I went for Sanchez in the wild card, and actually I've only went for two Brentford. So I'm just going to accept my mistake and just bring Rea in because I think Rea's got two good fixtures. I think he's obviously very strong when it comes to save points, bonus points. I think he's top for top one of I think he's
He's
second keeper overall in tiers and all that. So I think he's the one to go for.
Points per start as well. He's in the top five, I think. For and especially given that he has a double now, placed in 28 and a double in 29, pretty good opportunity for anyone looking.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we all have to think about. I mean, whenever you get to doubles, everyone gets a bit obsessed about trying to get all the players in for the doubles. But then, like I say, there's some good single week players this week, plus the fact that obviously you've got the blank next week as well. So you want to be kind of keeping half an eye on that one. I think most of the community will end up with 9 or 10 players. So you maybe even have an edge if you can get yourself to 10, 11, for example. So I think just keep half an eye on them on game week 28 as well.
Yep,
But
true.
for me, it's Rea 101.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Okay, so that's from Brighton's perspective of players to get in all. I guess without a wild card, probably two. If you were on a wild card and let's say you did go for maybe March, Mitoma, or Matas, like one of the two, like even two out of the three, would you still switch or would you keep fifth in like who you went? Let's say you went solid March and it didn't perform.
Oh, I think you have to keep faith.
Yeah.
I think you have to keep faith. I mean, I think, as you rightly said, I mean, I think all three have good arguments for each one. Mm. So I think definitely Mitoma has been the most clinical. You can see it in terms of the amount of points he's got, you know, compared to the other two. But then you start to look at the stats. McAllister, he's in that much spoken about, more central role. He's on penalties. I think March might be the one that actually comes good this week. Again, as you rightly said, he's obviously kind of free kicks, corners, chances created, etc. I'm trying to give you hope here, by the way, Ryan, that this is going to work out for you.
Fingers crossed.
But I think interestingly, I think if you look at some of the zonal stuff in terms of where sides kind of concede, he's playing a couple of teams who I think are near the bottom for the amount of chances they concede down that left hand side, and obviously that I think that March could finally, because he's down that right hand side, I think he could take advantage of that one. So I think if you're with one, stick with it, or with two, stick with the ones you've got. I don't think there's any need to do any hokey cokey, and I think you just have to accept that one is going to go off. But my sneaky feeling is that March is going to be the one this week.
Yeah, fair enough. I hope so. I hope it does go off. Because in one way, it makes it good that he didn't perform, because those who didn't get him on the wildcard and those who are not playing the wildcard also are not really going to look at him as much. So if he does go off, his low ownership as well, I'll be celebrating. So let's hope he does.
You really are looking for the positive here, right? You really
I am. So let's hope so. Okay, let's go to Brentford. So if you let's talk about Brentford. Both their doubles this week and in 29 consist of away games. But unlike Brighton, they also have a game in 28 at home to Leicester. Similar to the question I asked you for Brighton, how many would you bring in if you weren't on a wild card, and who would they be?
Well, you, obviously 100% Tony. Mm. If you've not got Tony, get him in. I think just based on his track record, I think he's on 15 goals for the season. I think Brentford are in good form. Obviously, we seem to have got past the scares about the fact he might kind of be impacted about by his ban, etc. So I think he's definitely the one to get. And then I think it's more interesting when you look beyond that piece as well. I think Rare would be the next one if you've not got him. Again, we've spoken about where he sits amongst the keepers. I mean, to be honest, I wish I'd got him a bit earlier. I remember someone on Twitter, FBL Gills, I think it was, kind of like recommended to me. And I should have gone for him then, because I think he's just one of those people that, you know, you can just stick into your team and will continue to give you points. So definitely Raya next. And then, to be honest, it's one of those weird pick a weapon in defence, really. It's a complete lottery. It's similar to the midfielder piece for Brighton. And I think you're going to see people in the community celebrating or commiserating when it comes to the weekend. So you've got obviously Ben Mee. I mean, he's got three double digit braces this week, and so always looks like he can score from a corner. Obviously Henry, who you've got, the more attacking option, he scored I think he scored three this year, and looks to kind of attack down the flank. Pinnock obviously did come in this last time round. He's quite high up when you look at things like touches in the box, etc. And he's quite cheap. And then you've got Hickey if you want to go really really kind of out there as well. So any of those are kind of good picks, but I think again you have to accept it's a bit of a lottery. I'd be more inclined to go for them, because if you think about where you're going to get those Brentford players, it doesn't take out that opportunity cost in midfield, if you like. So we're not quite as spoilt for choice in defence and up front as we are for midfielders.
Yeah,
so
true.
So definitely Tony and then maybe one other.
Yeah. If anyone really wanted a Brentford midfielder, I was speaking with like my pod mate, well, this like the match was going on for Brentford, and he mentioned Jensen, and then Jensen went on to score. So cheap budget midfielder, although I wouldn't really recommend because there's so much options in midfield elsewhere.
Yeah.
If anyone really wanted one, but yeah. And then there is Mbeumo, although not as clinical as Tony, and no set pieces. I mean, no penalties and all.
No, exactly. I think just because you've got Tony, Mbeumo is not quite there. Jensen, I've got him in one of my draft teams. You know, where you can be a bit more you're a bit more risky. You're different in terms of that. So I was delighted when he scored. But yeah, no, I think same point. Bringing someone into midfield when you've got all those treasures in midfield is a bit difficult to justify.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so finally from the teams that double, I want to briefly touch on Southampton and Crystal Palace. Do you think we should spend any transfers on players from these teams, or is it not worth considering?
Well, the short answer would be no, but I suspect you want me to elaborate slightly on that one.
Well, up to you.
Yeah, go on.
Up to you.
No, I think, I mean, if you were going to look there, I think you, obviously, James Ward-Prowse, who's a bit of a kind of a favourite of mine, just because he's done very well for me in my in my draft leagues in time, and he is consistent. Just because I think he's on set pieces, you know, he's going to play. He can always pop up and score a free kick. And I think Southampton are in a place where they need to win games. Obviously, they've got the Sellis in charge until the end of the season. From talking to some of the fans, he seems to have got the support more from the dressing room and from the team as well. So, but they had a good result against Leicester, and Ward-Prowse could have scored if he hadn't missed that penalty. So, I think he would be the one that would be worth looking at. And I think a lot of people who are actually bench boosting this week, he will be the one that I'd imagine they've got in as their seventh player, if you like, alongside the three Brentford and Brighton players. Elsewhere, it's not looking great. Palace, I probably wouldn't touch.
Yeah.
They look out of form. I know they've had a tough run of fixtures, but look out of form, and even the double itself, they've got. I think they've got City, and which is not going to be good.
Brighton
away, which is not great anyway. So, unless you're feeling really like gambling, I'd probably leave them well alone.
Yeah. I probably like you said initially, avoid both if needed. I did see a stat though. Zaha has an incredible record against Brighton for some reason. That is one thing to probably mention. But even then, having said that, I still probably wouldn't go for him. But yeah. Because they don't have a double in 29 as well. So I'm like, you're spending transfers. It depends on when you're wildcarding as well, but if you're spending transfers, you would want to bring players who will at least double in 29 if you're not wildcarding by then.
Yeah. No, I think Zaha, that's their derby, isn't it? There's that bizarre Palace Brighton M23 derby or something. I don't know what it is, but there's always a bit of a niggle there. And I think Zaha, as a result, always kind of rises to the occasion. I mean, he came back last week and he looked all right from the eye test. He was being Zaha. So, I mean, again, probably someone I'd punt on in a draft team, but not maybe in my main team.
Yeah, fair enough. I want to touch on the possible benching headache this week. So managers are most likely going to have to bench some good players who have good fixtures this week. Some may have double Arsenal midfield, Rashford, Leicester midfield, maybe like Madison, or even up top they may have Kane or Haaland. Who would you risk benching from players like this? And would it be worth playing the bench boost chip this week? Or would it be better to save it for Game Week 29?
Yeah, it's a tough one actually. I think most people who wildcarded last week, who have kind of got the stacked benches, are looking at game week 29. But again, what's interesting, I did note that Ben Crellin, he of the fixtures spreadsheet, he's setting himself up for a bench boost this week in game week 27. So he's actually got Ward-Prowse, for example, as a person, he had to suffer the penalty miss, but he's got him now for that venture piece. And I think basically he's done that because obviously when you look at the game week 29 bench boost, you've got that international break. And I think there's going to be a lot of injuries and a lot of kind of worries. I mean, we were talking about Estepina earlier on, so you've got him. I think he's got a match just 3 days before the game week starts. So
he's in Australia and then flies over.
So there's a bit of a worry from that point of view. So so I think but I still think for me game week 29 looks the better option to bench boost, and I think the main reason for that is down to the Arsenal fixtures that we've got. So Arsenal this week, we've got Fulham away, but in that game week 29 they've got Leeds at home, and I think just looking at those two fixtures, I can see you're gonna have to bench some Arsenal players in either option, and I can just see Arsenal getting more out of that Leeds fixture. So that's probably kind of where I am on the bench boost question. I think in terms of who I bench this week, I mean, I think it's probably going to be, if you have got a Leicester midfielder like me, I've got Harvey Barnes as my little treat to myself. That's fine. Bench him, done. But I can see a lot benching an Arsenal player this week. I think a few are kind of looking at Odegaard to bench.
Yeah, I've got Martinelli.
Yeah, I'd be really worried about that. I think either Martinelli or Odegaard, I think, could score well. I don't think it's enough to make you bench boost. But just get yourself a sofa, because I think you might have to hide behind it.
I've had that Mitoma 13 points already. Hopefully it's not as worse as this, but it is what it is. I've accepted the fact that I will probably see some decent points on my bench this week. I'll be benching not only Martinelli, but also Gabriel in defence. Because I'll have Estupina and Enrico Henry alongside Trippier in the back line starting. So I'll have Gabriel and Botman. Both could potentially keep a clean sheet. So I'm looking at least a minimum of 10 to 15 on my bench at least this week, probably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I say, I'm just hoping that you paid your penance from last week. Because, all those look good options. Because I think it's... Gabriel will end up scoring a thunder blaster now, won't he? Or scoring from a header or something. But I hope not for your sake. But again, as long as you go in with your eyes open, there's going to be, what is it, luck, variance, we'll call it whatever you will this weekend. So I think you just have to accept it and base it on the fact that you know, your decision is you're going to bench boost later on if you've still got the chip.
Yep, fair enough. Okay, finally. Captaincy for game week 27. Now, this is a tough one, as this week there seems like there are so many good options, not only from the double game week players, but even from the single game week players. Who would be your captaincy choice for this week?
Yeah, it is a really tricky one. And again, it's one of those cases that it could have a big swing in terms of your rank. I think the majority will go for Tony. Based on everything we've just spoken about, as in, obviously he's got the double. Obviously he's been consistent in terms of his points coming in. He's obviously on penalties. So I think the majority will go for him. I must admit, I'm actually swinging more towards Mitoma as my Brighton midfielder to go for. Literally just because I think he's got the slight edge in terms of fixtures. Slight edge. I mean, they've both got teams down there at the bottom, but at least Matoma's got one home fixture in there, as it were, which is the game against Palace. So I'm moving more towards Mitoma being my choice. But yeah, I mean, as you said, when it comes to doublers, I think March could be a good option. I mean, you never know, that might come in. McAllister could be a good option. Then you got the singles. Salah, is he back? And against Bournemouth, that's going to be a he's obviously in the past he scored big against Bournemouth. Haaland against Palace as well. So I think there's a lot of ones, a lot of single game weeks as well. But I think it will come down to a choice between Tony or one of the Brighton midfielders.
Yeah,
for most.
For me, I think I'm going towards Mitoma, mainly due to like what you said. And also, I think Brighton are the better attacking team as well compared to Brentford. Their attacking numbers are skyrocketingly high this season compared to, especially given the number of games they played. You would compare them to like some of the traditional big six. They are doing really good right now. Apart from that, it's also slightly for me a bit more of a differential pick because I'm at a rank that has been fluctuating on a yo-yo scale because of the luck. So I'm at about 800k, so I'm like trying to do trying to climb up. So sometimes I have to take slight risk, and I feel like this week I'm all right to try and take like slight risk because I have both in my team. I don't think either of them will go to significantly high ownerships as well, so I'm probably gaining points regardless from both sides. So I'm willing to take that on.
Yeah, it's so tight this season in terms of the points. I mean, I know it's been said before, but we're just seeing more and more engaged managers in terms of who are actually, you know, kind of pay attention and kind of look more into the data and the research piece as well. So it's really hard to make those jumps in ranks. And again, we were saying earlier, I think with some of the doubles later on being easier to navigate, then I think that's taken away some of the advantage. So I think when there is an opportunity to differentiate that captain, I think you have to go for it and obviously take the pain if you get it. But but if not, if we reap the benefits as well. I think also just going back to Tony, I think I know he's got on paper kind of like two weaker teams in Southampton and Everton, but they're both away. And I think, as I said, I think Salas has got Southampton. We'll get them, you know, stoked up for that game in terms Sean of Dyson, having happy to win. And I can, Sean, I mean, I was surprised that that team lost to Villa a couple of weeks ago, wanted their first kind of home defeat for Dyche anyway. So, but I think that will change against this piece. So, so I'm with you. So we're Matomo brothers together. So that's good to see.
Yep. Okay. We're hoping for a huge 20 plus points haul this week. Nothing short than that. Okay. So having said all of that, thank you for your time today. Do you have anything to plug?
Do I have anything to plug? Not really. I think the only thing I would say, I mean, obviously I write the great and good articles, so always nice for people to read those in Fantasy Football Scout. And just on the community tournament piece, we are coming towards the end of the community tournament, and we've partnered with FPL Meets, where we're going to do a trophy giving ceremony at the end of the season. So it is going to be in London as part of that game week 38 on that Sunday. So we'll be giving out some trophies there for those not in the UK. We're trying to make sure people send representatives, and I'm trying to think of somewhere I could do some kind of video on my phone so people, so if a team captain outside the UK can at least see the trophies, which I've got a flag are cheap and cheap and small, but at least there's a trophy there involved. Yeah. So those are the only two things I've plugged, but it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's it for this week's Scout the Game Week. I'll be back next time to look back on Double Game Week 27 and ahead to Blank Game Week 28.